spring comes, and the farmer tells me her nephew is coming to rest, and he's going to keep coming through the whole summer, once a month or sometimes twice a month. Do what he's going to tell me to do. I'm listening. I'm not answering anything. I just nodding my head. I stopped speaking Polish. I had this anger that I felt that something is choking me. And I understand when somebody is bullying what you can do, really. If something happens to your mind, really. So when that guy comes, he was Gestapo. Every morning he gets up and he's putting on the porch two pairs of boots. You know, those high boots? Mm-hmm. And his leather belt and the holsters that he had his revolvers. Mm-hmm. And he says, putzen. It means shine them. So here I have everything to shine. I am shining and I'm so hungry that I don't have strength. And I'm getting more angry and more angry and more angry to the point that I feel my brain will explode. And finally one day, mother, after I finish doing the shoes, she calls me to the barn and she says, Irene, stop doing this. Either start singing or whistling because he's going to kill you. He's standing in a doorway and playing with his revolver and playing, and he see your anger. And you cry and he can see and he's enjoying it. I said, Mother, I cannot because something is choking in my, I have this choking feeling in my throat. I cannot. She says, you have to. She says, stop, start praying, and maybe God will listen and help you and relax you a little bit. And one day I finished doing his shoes. He came, he stepped on those shoes and grinds the dirt in them, and I have to shine them again. Mm-hmm. So I'm shining again. I did the second, third time he did the same. So finally I took a deep breath. And I thought to myself, this is the last time that he's doing, I'm going to do something. But then I started like praying. I said, please, dear God, relieve this pressure in my throat because I feel like I'm choking. And I got like a little bit better, like I'm, you know, polishing those boots, but it's just like I'm getting some strength. And finally I finished. He tells me to take them, put it in his room. So I did put everything. And he says, go to work. So I went and I started doing what I had to do. Next day, the same thing. He's putting those boots and he says, putzen, polish them. So I am just doing this. I finished them and he came, he went outside in the sand. He comes with his boots and grinds the dirt, grinds and everything. And I thought to myself, I have this smile. I feel I have this smile, but it feels that my eyes are burning, like I have fire in my eyes. And I thought to myself, I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to start whistling. The whistling is not coming. I start humming and I'm beginning to hum this German song. And do you know, I am looking and he's doing. So I'm just doing and, you know, and I'm beginning to whistle. My whistle comes. And then again, I am singing because I remember the song from the school that the teacher taught us. Okay. So, and it, the song is all about the soldier that he is standing on his duty, you know, like on his watch. Mm-hmm. And he's thinking about his sweetheart faraway place. And he's thinking about her and this is the song about. And he comes out and he says, stop. Okay, I stop. He says, where did you learn this song? I said, in school.
Are you speaking German now?
Yes, okay. Because I knew German already from school. And he says, somebody told me that you can speak German. I said, no. I said, I cannot speak German because I am ashamed because I cannot speak German. This is what I'm telling him.
Yes, you're telling him in German.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he says, why are you ashamed of German language? Because I cannot speak good, I'm telling him. He says, you are smart for your age. I said, no. And he says to me, what school did you go to? I said, in school in, you know, in Poland. Mm-hmm. And he says, and they taught you German? I said, yes, they taught us to sing and speak German, but I don't speak good German. And I am ashamed, I'm telling him. He says, do you want me to teach you German? Yeah. He says, okay, come and sit with me on the steps. So I'm going to sit on the steps. I sit like farther away from him, maybe like this. He says, no, I want you to sit closer.
Does he know that you're a boy or a girl?
Still, I am a boy.
Okay.
And he says, I want you to sit closer to me. Okay, so I came, I sit closer. And he says, can you start singing this song? Yes. So I'm beginning to sing, Auf der Kaserne, auf der große Sturm. And I am singing. Mm-hmm. And he is joining me. Mm-hmm. We both are singing. Finally, his aunt comes out of the house and he says, is this how you are training her to work? This is what she's telling her nephew. He says, aunt, listen, we are really singing nice. And she knows German song. And he says, that's my favorite song. And she went inside. She was very angry because I'm not working. So anyway, and he says, do you know any other German songs? I said, yes, but I really don't know real good, so I'm not going to sing. But he says, well, you just start and maybe I... And he says, no, I don't know this song. He says, we're going to forget about this song. So he says, do you want me to teach you German? I said, yes. But I said, I have to work. He says, no, you're going to sit here with me and I got to teach you one word a day here and we're going to sing this song. And I said to him, I said, do you have a friend? He says, yes, she's far away. And when you are singing, he says, I want to cry because I miss her. And I said, you are telling me this? He says, yes, because I cannot tell anybody else. So I said, thank you. And he says, and what else did they teach you in school? I said, oh, a lot of stuff about Germany, about Hitler, mm-hmm. how good he is. And I thought to myself, if you only knew. And he says, and you love my Führer? I said, oh, yes, he is a good man. He had a hard life when he was growing up, just like I. He looked at me and he says, you have a hard life. I says, no, not exactly, but I am cold sometimes. He says, I will fix that for you. So next day, I see a mailman. It was not mailman. They had like at that time like express letters mm-hmm. somebody brought. And I receive this letter comes. He opened because the letter is in like has red stripes. I see that's something important. And I see he got like white. I said, something happened. He runs inside the house. And I hear the cry. His aunt and uncle, they are crying. He is called to go to Berlin because the Russians.
Yeah.
So he is packing everything and he's going. And what he is doing, he's leaving money. I could hear because he called me in Irene. It's Irene, but it's German. It's Erika. Mm-hmm. And he says to his aunt, this is for Erika's. You're going to buy her wool for her.
So he knew you were a girl then?
Yes.
Okay.
But still, I was wearing pants, yes, but he didn't tell me. He didn't tell me that. And he says, you're going to buy, because my mother called me Irka in Polish.
Okay.
And German, it's Erika. It's all similar. So he was listening.
Oh.
Yes. And he was, sometimes he was like looking at me, you
he
know.
He figured it out.
Yeah, and I guess he figured it out, but he didn't say anything.
Of course, of course.
So... You know, and he and I could hear, he says, and she says, we don't have Erika here. He says, this is the name I gave her. This is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And he gave enough, and he says, buy her wool to make her a sweater, warm sweater, and make sure you make buy enough wool, so because they call the stockings, like long stockings, mm-hmm. and new shoes, and summer shoes, enough money for her. And somebody has to take her to Schweinfurt and buy her because here you cannot get that. This is what I heard. He's coming out. He came to me. He gave me a hug. I was crying. And I said, where are you going? He says, far, far away. And he says, do you believe in miracles? I said, yeah, I do. He says, you are my miracle. And I said, thank you. I overheard something. I said, thank you very, very much. And I gave him a hug, and he ran because the limousine was waiting for him. Mm-hmm. He went a few days after they received a note that he stepped on a mine, and they even didn't find any part of his body, and he was mm-hmm. killed. And see, even though he was trained to be vicious person, mm-hmm. but he showed me a good heart that he had.
You showed him something that reminded him of someone.
Of some, yeah, that's true.
Individually, he was trying to be kind to one person, mm-hmm. even though mm-hmm. as a group, mm-hmm. they yeah. were brutal.
And then what happened? They had one son. And that son also, he was in army, and he was called to Berlin. A few days after, they received a note that he was killed. My farm lady, she fell apart. I never remember. I never touched her, but I remember she was so sick. I went to her bed, and I gave her a hug and a kiss on her forehead. She cried.
Because she was only cruel to you.
Yes, she was cruel.
You still showed her kindness.
Yes. And you know what they decided? Both of them decided they will. I said, oh, please, God, send those American troops as close as possible. And, yeah, the troops were getting closer and closer. And I remember the airplane, American airplane, especially the one-engine ones, the small ones that had, I don't know how many machine guns they had, mm-hmm. but I know they had machine guns. And they were throwing leaflets in different languages, and they said, well, foreigners, I found one that was in Polish. Get away from the villages because we're going to level everything mm-hmm. because the main track, the train was going mm-hmm. through the village, and it was Easter time. And I remember the bombardments. They bombarded Coburg. Coburg was a very large city with a hospital. The hospital had a Red Cross on top. It was Red Cross Hospital. And I don't know how long Americans did not know that they were having all kind of forces there. There nobody was sick because they moved sick people away from their hospital. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of soldiers there mm-hmm. and all kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And finally somebody found out this is what Germans were hiding. And planes came one night. And we could see from our village,
parachutes?
You know, when the fire is burning during the night and there is a glow in the sky, we see, and we could hear the explosions, like something explosion. They really damaged that part because they found out what they were hiding there. Okay. And then American airplanes were throwing when they were coming to bump, and the sirens surveilling mm-hmm. because the planes are approaching. Mm-hmm. When the American planes were getting closer, the sirens were going like constantly, so we knew they are close. So what the planes start doing, they start throwing cut-up foil.
Why?
And do you know why? Because on the bottom, Germans has their radars, and the radars were showing where the American planes are. So when they were throwing the cut-up foil, mm-hmm. so the radar, the needle didn't know where, and they were, like, getting crazy.
Yeah, so they're reflecting back.
Yes. What it was. And I remember one time we were in the mountains because my farmer had land, maybe I would say 8 kilometers from the house, and we used to go there to hay, mm-hmm. to do the hay. And we were sitting there, and we see the American heavy planes are coming, and we see that from the bottom, the Germans are shooting down the plane, the heavy plane, and we see the flyers are burning and going down. American, the parachutes are going. And I think there were maybe alive that hit the ground. I think I counted 5 of them.
Okay.
And I am laying there on that mountain and crying. And my God, and finally, you know, the German lady asked my mother why I am crying. They are bad men because they are destroying Germany. And my mother says, that's why she's crying. And I was crying for you know, the American soldiers.
Yeah.
So I'm watching real good where they are going. Mm-hmm. And I see there is a village that my father used to take that milk there.
Yes.
And I said, this is, but I don't know if the village, like in the middle, beginning, or wherever, but I see it's closer to the woods mm-hmm. where the flyers are going down. Mm-hmm. And when the flyers went down, the soldiers, German soldiers caught them, some of them, they had burnt feet because they were burning yes. already. Yes. They had to walk all the way to the forest, and I was there with my mother, and we could hear the machine gun. They yeah. were killed, but I remember the woods.
Yes.
I said I have to remember this, and I have to someday. I have to tell somebody what I saw,
yeah.
and you know. And I remember when I'm still laying there because the American planes are flying those big
yeah.
big cargo planes or whatever they were or the. The ones that were carrying a lot of bombs. Mm-hmm. And they are showing, throwing the cut up foil. So I ran and I got one. I am bringing when my mother and this German lady is laying in a little ditch. And she's yelling at me, get away, that's poison, you're going to poison me. Mm-hmm. She took pitchfork and she threw it away. And she said, run to the creek and wash your hands because Americans poisoning us. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I heard that it's not poison,
mm-hmm.
that it's doing the good stuff for the American mm-hmm. Air Forces up there.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, you know, we got down and already we know that a lot of American forces getting closer.
Yeah.
So it was about Easter time, maybe a few days before Easter, this huge train is bringing a lot of German soldiers
mm-hmm.
going to Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
The little plane came. I think it was Easter, not before, because before Easter, we sat outside because they were saying they're going to bomb the village to nothing. They're going to level. So we sat outside in a ditch someplace far away
mm-hmm.
because we could not go to the bunkers because we were foreigners. Our foreigners were not allowed to go to the bunkers. So we were sitting. And it was Sunday morning, I remember now. It was Easter. And this little plane, American plane, came. And we knew the transport just arrived. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many cars of soldiers were. That little plane shot down. He made a meatloaf there.
Mm-hmm.
And when he wanted to get out, he touched the wires because he went too low. And he went down and he hit the mountain. The soldiers, the flyer's body was torn apart to the smallest pieces.
Oh dear.
So then the big officials came and they called all the foreigners. They gave us, we had to take baskets or anything.
Yeah.
We had to go on that mountain and found all the pieces of that shoulder, yeah. of that soldier.
Yes, yes.
We found his one foot in his boot. We found he was drinking. We found a lot of alcohol. And we found he had a piece of paper like this,
mm-hmm.
except smaller, like
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
And he was making tic-tac. How many planes that morning he shot?
Wow.
Our plane was number 21
okay.
that he shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost his life.
Yeah.
yeah. So then we gathered all the part of the soldier's body.
Mm-hmm.
We had to bring it in the middle of the village because there was a meeting place
mm-hmm.
and put that in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a little bit of some kind of fluid. They gather all of us foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
We had to watch. And they put that body on fire.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody said quietly, start praying, so we're going to get big wind here. And we could only hear, I could only hear, I remember, like people were something, like saying, like, and then it was very quiet, and suddenly the wind came, I'm telling you, and the wind was blowing toward the village. And the smell from burning body, I still remember the smell
mm.
and the taste even in my mouth. You never forget this as long as you live
yes.
of burning body. And then they gave order to the foreigners, bring bucket of water and douse this off.
Yes.
And put the body in a wheelbarrow, gave another box. But don't bury that body on the cemetery because he is an enemy.
Yes, yes.
Just outside the where the fence,
yes.
Outside the fence. Mm-hmm. So the foreigners took that body and took it and buried that soldier's body, the rest of it, mm-hmm. where it was. And then they called, not all of us, children they didn't call, mm-hmm. only adults, they had to and gather all the parts of that airplane,
yeah.
But bring every part that you find and put certain place,
yes.
So they could put it together.
Yes.
And we found the dog tags of that soldier. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's how it was. And then we were waiting for the forces to come. And most of the time we spent outside the village because, you know, they were bombarding,
yeah.
And shooting and everything. So we spent, and sometimes the plane, when we were running into the, you know, the higher elevation, the plane was going so, you know, like leading us, showing us where,
yeah.
The ditches are.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how it was. And then Americans came. And I remember the first things when they came into the village, the ground shook. It was early in the morning, and it was May 6th. My mother was milking the cow.
Mm-hmm.
And when we heard this rumble, we didn't know what was happening. The German lady... she even invited me go to the bunk, to the cellar,
mm-hmm.
and I did not. I went to see my mother, and finally, but we didn't know what was happening because it was the ground shook really when those tanks were coming.
Mm-hmm.
And all those American tanks, the first tanks, not the first one, the first, I think, division that was coming, invading Germany, they had orange coverings on all their, like, tanks,
mm-hmm.
their jeeps, and I, to this day, I don't know why.
Hmm.
But when we were sitting on the mountain, we knew how far they were. And we were praying for them so they will get closer and closer and liberate us. And I remember finally when they were getting near, my mother was milking the cow. She ran outside with that milk full of milk. She spilled that milk through that bucket, and she ran and she kissed the soldier's boots. I remember, I never forget this. And I remember first thing what they asked us, your farmers, were they good to you? How can you say that they were horrible? And we said, oh, yeah, they were very good. Because how can you have something on your conscience even though you knew they were cruel to us?
So in a way, you kind of forgave them?
Yes. Yes.
So that anger you had when you were younger...
The anger went away when the guy that I was cleaning his boots...
Yes.
It just went away because... Maybe she starts showing me, like, little interest, like he cared, like I was a human being.
I know, but...
But I think it would apply the same thing to a bullied kid, because the anger is there, and it's horrible what it does to your system.
Yeah.
And maybe if somebody would intervene, if somebody just could step in and talk to them...
So you're saying if a person is being bullied... A child or a person.
Especially child.
Especially child. Instead of carrying that anger for revenge, if someone would come out and intervene to show them how to express or to forgive, that's very hard.
But you know, I tell you, they should have really social workers at school. Social workers that are observant. Because if the child feels this anger like I did...
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel like associate. You want to be alone. You want to be quiet because your mind is constantly working.
Yes.
And you are thinking, what can I do? And I can't do nothing.
Yeah.
You finally find
frustration.
Out. Frustration. And you know there is still another tomorrow, but when it's going to come?
Yeah.
And mother was always telling us kids, when today is not good, tomorrow will be better. And when tomorrow is not better, there is still another tomorrow. So you are walking, you get up in the morning, the tomorrow is not better, it's worse. So you are waiting for that another tomorrow, and you know it's going to come. You know it's going to come. So it applies to a lot of kids here because at home they have so many different problems, drinking, mm-hmm. abusing, all kind of problems in the family.
And it seems like tomorrow is just bringing more misery.
Well, tomorrow will, but yet still, don't think about that. You get up. You don't have nothing to eat like a lot of families that are poor here.
Yes.
You don't have nothing to eat, but you know that there is something that you will eat. But still about this other tomorrow that is going to change your life.
So even though things might not get better the next day.
Yes,
keep
but
hope
hoping.
That
hope,
one day.
Hope, yes, hope.
But it's still to have that forgiveness in your heart at 8 or 9 that you could have gotten retribution when that soldier asked you, were they good to you?
Mm-hmm.
If you hadn't had that spirituality to keep you strong, to survive.
Probably you would say, yeah, because I don't care
about
it. Yes,
me.
Yeah.
And get revenge.
And they would shoot them on a spot. They were shooting people because the farm lady, she got so scared that she got sick. They thought that she had a heart attack because she thought we're going to say that, you know.
And she knew she would be
she
evil.
Knew, yes, yes.
And so the fact that you showed her grace.
Yes. And later on, really,
wow.
When her nephew was killed, she what really happened when they were start bombing the big cities.
Mm-hmm.
The big cities were destroyed, like Schweinfurt.
Mm-hmm.
So all the farmers had to take some people and give them room to live.
Mm-hmm.
So my farmer had a 3-story house. So they gave her the 2nd story with, she had 3 children, Helmut and Elvira and Eric, and her husband, I don't know, he was somebody very big because he was caught and sent to England to prison.
Wow.
Before World War finished yet.
Okay.
I think he was caught beginning of 1943 or 1944. I think it was 1944.
Mm-hmm.
Because end of 1944, they start bombing. Americans start bombing. Mm-hmm. And I remember she took me to Schweinfurt, that lady
mm-hmm.
that was with the children, to help me bring some stuff that she had in cans. Because before the war started, Hitler gave order for them to make cans, like put cans,
yeah.
food in cans,
yeah.
so they will survive.
Yes.
So she had a lot of those cans in her cellar. Her house was destroyed, but the cellar was intact. So I went with her, and of course she bought me, you know, the stuff for... But now we're going to get how they found out I am a girl. Before all of this, before Americans came... One day, my hair was getting already longer.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, German kids had short, boys had short hair.
Yeah.
So they are telling to cut off the hair. No. So finally, she called the Polish guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Polish guy, well, her name is Erika, and she's a girl.
Wow.
And my farmer's lady's husband was not home. He was someplace away.
Yeah.
So she says, take off those pants and... She gave me some kind of address. The neighbor gave address, so I put the dress on. Her husband is coming home. The minute he gets in the yard, I know I'm going to get beating because
yes.
I have the dress. He's yelling at me, and his wife is standing in a window and laughing. I thought she's going to pee in his panties. She was
evil.
Laughing.
She's
yeah.
evil.
And finally, he comes to me, and he says, where are your pants? And I said, well, in the wash.
Yes.
And he says, you cannot go nowhere with the dress. I said, yes, I can. I am a girl. And my name is Erika. He says, what? I said, yeah. And his wife comes out and he says, you know, all this time we didn't have a boy, we're a girl. And she told him. He was so mad. He didn't touch me.
Yes.
He was just mad. He told his wife, it's impossible. So she brings 2 pictures to my mother,
mm-hmm.
a boy and a girl. And she says, pointed to me, who is she? Mm-hmm. Mother is pointing to the girl. Mm-hmm. And finally, she knew, they knew that I was a girl, that parents have two girls and one boy only. Yeah. Yeah.
But still, that she probably wanted you to get beaten, because she could have intervened and said...
Yeah, but you know, they really did not beat me. They just like hit one hit. Yeah, that's it. It was hard. Yeah.
See, that's what I meant, to forgive her for all the little tiny digs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was good of you. So after, did you, your family go back to Poland or did you stay?
No,
there?
We never went back to Poland because everybody was killed. Everything was burned. There was nothing left in that area. So just to go there, it will be just going to everything destroyed. But we had a chance to go to Poland because what really happened? They gave eastern part to Ukraine, but they gave a western part of Germany to Poland.
Yes.
And they gave those German people, the farmers, only few, I don't know how many minutes to get out of that part.
Okay.
So then what they did... Because a lot of people were in Siberia, because when Russia invaded, I think the law changed and those people could return back to Poland. Mm-hmm. So when they returned, everything was destroyed. Yeah. So that part of Germany, they took it, they put those people that came, let's say like us,
yes,
came from Germany back to Poland. A lot of people returned back to Poland.
Okay.
Because they were giving like whole farms, German farms.
Yes.
My parents says, no, this is somebody's tears we are taking.
Yes.
Because they left everything and we're going to, she says, no. So the Red Cross start gathering foreigners. Mm-hmm. We had to go to the city 5 kilometers from us and put our names, give our names and the whole family, the birth of they, where we are from Poland. And I remember... My mother says to my father, Stephen, you have to take day off work and you have to go and register. Mm-hmm. And he says, I don't have time. And I thought to myself,
make time.
I gonna go.
Yes.
My mother says, don't go because there are still German forces in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And they were hiding under the ground.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, well, I'm gonna let somebody know what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Yes, we were together. Yeah. Okay. So later on, we found out we could go to France, we could go to Belgium, to the coal mines.
Mm-hmm.
My father says no. So we signed up to go to Brazil.
Woo!
Yes. And finally, I was only 15, and I found, I was 15 at that time, I remember. I was going to high school.
Okay.
And they were looking for somebody to translate languages. My mother says, why don't you go and, you know, because I spoke six or seven languages at that time.
From Brazil, and you had a private teacher. How did you get from Brazil to America?
Okay, so I work for somebody,
yes,
and I ask, we were not supposed to...
And your family's still with you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, and he says, fire. Okay, so I'm firing. I said, how to get to America?
Still want to go to America.
And he says, find yourself a sponsor and you will be in America. Okay, fine. So I'm going to find a sponsor. So I found a sponsor,
mm-hmm,
for my family and myself. But the sponsor could not take five of us. Because my grandmother died in Schweinfurt when we were liberated. She died. Yeah, so there were only five of us.
Okay.
And I found only for my father, mother, my brother, and my sister. I find a sponsor. But the fifth person he couldn't take. So I said to my parents, well, I found you a sponsor, so you go, and I will find myself a sponsor since I am, you know, finishing my high school, and mm-hmm, I am going, you know, to, I have this job, I'm getting
mm-hmm
paid.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's very sweet of you to sacrifice for your family.
And so I said, you go, and I will find a sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, that's what happened.
Now, where did they end up in America?
We came to America. Our sponsors were from North Carolina.
Okay.
So I found the sponsor also in North Carolina.
Okay.
And they called my parents already to go to America. When they found out, they got to Bremerhaven, Germany, to get on the ship, and they found out that there is a daughter that's underage. They said, you cannot leave her. You have to wait for her until she gets, you know.
Legal, yeah.
And they said, well, she cannot go because she has very important job. She's translating for Americans. Mm-hmm. And so finally, I quit my job.
Just to go to North Carolina.
To go to North Carolina, mm-hmm. And I went. So we were on the same ship, but I had to go with singles and my parents with the family. So mm-hmm. The ship was six-story. What's the matter, the six-story ship? And, you know, so we were traveling 14 days to America, and wow. I was sick all the time. I got poisoning of the stomach. They had to pump my stomach out and things like that. So finally we get to America, to Port of Authority in New York. They give us, they tell us, for instance, I came through here through a Catholic organization.
Okay.
Other people, my parents from different ones. So yeah. We had to be separated in New York on Port of Authority. Okay. They are sitting in one group, I am in another.
So you went through the whole Ellis Island situation?
Yes.
So you're written down there somewhere.
I really don't remember this. I really wow. don't remember. I don't okay. remember, but what really happened? So before they put you on the train to go to your sponsors in North Carolina, they gave your papers to the cab driver that took you to the train.
Okay.
So finally, my parents went first.
Yes.
So, and since I was in a single group because, you know, my family was separated, so I see this guy is coming. And they gave him the paper. He's going to take me to the train. Mm-hmm. So he is driving me to the train. And I am looking. The neon signs. First time in America.
Wow.
I don't know where I am.
Uh-huh.
And he is taking me someplace, God knows where. So finally, we stop by this huge building. He does to me like this. He didn't know I speak English.
Oh,
he took my little suitcase, gave it to me. I took my little suitcase. I am following. I said, probably the train station is someplace down, you know, like in New York or whatever. And we're going through the big corridor. He tells me to sit down on a bench. I sit down, but I am sitting. We are in some kind of theater. And he's going down, like big theater. And I see there is a little man, either broom or something. He's doing something there. So this driver, he goes there, and they are both talking and looking constantly. My God, something hit me. I remember reading when I was in Europe that if you blonde hair, blue eyes, they are selling here you on a market.
Oh, my goodness. Is that what happened?
Probably that's what would happen if I did not do what I did. And I am looking, and I said, I remember this. So I took my little suitcase, and I ran outside.
Smart girl.
And it was October 23rd, I remember, 1950.
Okay.
And it was after 8 o'clock, so it was already dark. And I am running to the street. The cars are tooting, the horns, everything, braking. And I'm running because I see there is this bus that I saw at Port of Authority.
Yeah.
I come to the bus and I am knocking at the door. He would not open the door. Finally, he opened. He says, what do you want? And I said, take me to the Port of Authority. He says, I worked all day. I am taking nobody to Port of Authority. I am going to the garage, he says. I said, which way is Port Authority? He says, that way. So I thought to myself, I ran, and I am running, and I am crying. I am bumping into people calling me crazy and everything, and I am running. So finally, I ran, and it says, Port of Authority. So I am, and they were already closing.
Oh.
So they opened the door. They said, what are you doing? They asked my name, and they said, you're supposed to be on the train. And I told them what happened. My God, suddenly I see so many people around me asking me all kind of questions. How can I explain? I said, I know the cab driver was pulling his cap like this constantly and observing me in a bag when we were driving. I said, I didn't know where we were taking me. New country, new city. I don't know where he took me. So anyway, they thought that somebody wanted to kidnap me.
Yes.
So then what they decided to do, they assigned a policewoman to me. The policewoman going to take me all the way to North Carolina to my sponsors. Yeah, it was serious because he had all my papers.
Yes.
Everything he knew about me and my sponsors.
And this is before identity theft.
Yeah. So anyway, finally, you know, the police car took me to the train. We are going to the train. We're getting to Washington, D.C. We had to take another train. The policewoman is telling me, I have to go to the bathroom. Just stay here.
Yeah.
And because we have to wait for the transfer. So I'm staying. This priest comes to me. He says, where are you going? Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to North Carolina. He says, please, don't go to North Carolina. You're going to suffer. They treat everybody so badly there. Mm-hmm. And he says, stay. My parents will pay you for your education. You're going to do only a little bit of office work here. And everything will be, don't go there. I said, I have to because they are my sponsors. Mm-hmm. My sponsors really watched me. I could not see anybody. They would not let anybody. I was there like I was in jail. And I had to work on the fields very hard. They were supposed to pay me $5 a week. Mm-hmm. They didn't pay me nothing. There was nothing to eat. I suffered hunger. They both work from 11 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So there was no food in the refrigerator. They had one cow. They told me I have to milk the cow. I went to milk the cow. I did never milk the cow in my whole world life. Mm-hmm. The cow was trying to climb the wall. It was so afraid of me. Mm-hmm. And I never learned. So I had to take care of the whole farm that they had. And so finally, I wanted them to take to see my mother mm-hmm. and father, and because I was living from Albemarle to Salisbury, like 32 miles, mm-hmm. they would not take me. And finally, one day, they took me there, mm-hmm. and they left me overnight, and they said, we're going to come and pick you up again. And I remember it was supper time, and mother put so much food on the table, and I am sitting at the head of the table.
Wow.
I looked, and I went in tears, because I never saw so much food in my whole life.
Wow.
And I suffered such a hunger there, because they used to go to bakery and get stale bread, and they brought it, and they said, you eat this. Find something for yourself and eat if you are hungry. This was America. Can you imagine?
But
yeah,
the journey you went, there were so many horrible, horrible things. But each time you took a detour that made you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to the point that you were reunited with your family. And you got to eat. And eventually you had your life. Like you said, you were worried about the children of the day because they were shielded from things. You were not shielded, but you survived.
Yes, I did. But I tell you something. My sponsors once told me they're going to take me to see Ku Klux Klan. Okay, we're going to see Ku Klux Klan because I didn't know.
The Ku Klux Klan.
Klan.
You
yeah.
didn't know who they were.
No, right no, now. I didn't know nothing. I just wanted, you know, they were going to
okay.
go. So we are going and we are going. I said, looks like we are going in some kind that only fields are and there is woods. Oh, because there will be lynching. I said, what is lynching?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what lynching meant.
Yes.
So they explained, and I said, what this man did? Because he looked at white woman. I said, what are you talking about? They said, he looked at a white woman. I said, what is this man? They said, black man. I could not believe. I said, what, you are making fun of me. I said, black man look at the white woman and he's going to, they're going to lynch him? Yes, because they cannot do this. You know, already I don't know what to do.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, I'm going to stop and I'm going to start yelling. And they knew that I'm going to do something. So they said like this, we cannot go. They already, I see the man is hanging by the hands.
Yes.
From far, like far, but I could see. So she tells her husband, we cannot take her closer because she's a foreigner. They
yeah.
might do something to her too. So we're going to take her to the woods. So they took me farther away. And then I see they are burning the cross. their cross was big cross, and they are burning the cross, and they are really beating this man that's hanging by hands. I start crying. I said, where is the police? They said, you can't do nothing. Police is involved in it. Goodness. I could not believe. I said, how am I going to find out what kind of a law here in America they can beat another woman? A man looked at a woman.
Yes.
So finally, you know, we got home, and I'm trying. I said, do we have any papers here? No, you cannot read any newspapers. We don't have nothing. It costs money. They have no radio, no nothing.
Yeah.
I cannot get nowhere because they are living from nowhere to get to main road even. I cannot escape. Nothing. And I don't know where I am even.
Yeah.
So finally, I am having a lot of questions. And they are telling me that there are very wealthy people that have like a lot of land. They raise cotton, tobacco, and something else. And I said, and who works for them? All people from Mexico and black people. They didn't call black people.
I understand, yes, yes.
They
yes,
called
yes,
something
yes, yes,
else.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I said, how did they getting paid? No.
So
I just could not understand.
What you're saying is your idea of America was completely shattered.
It was
because
like...
Because you thought since you left Europe and the war, they were better.
They were showing us pictures how beautiful, how people are dressing. You go to restaurants. And I thought, I don't believe...
What happened?
Then one day, they are taking me to town.
Yes.
They are taking me to town. They gave me $1. And they said, we're going to stop someplace and maybe, you know, you are hungry or you want to get ice cream yourself, get ice cream, but meet us here and here on this bench. Okay, fine. I am looking everywhere. I don't see them. So I see there is this restaurant. I am going in and I am ordering a hamburger. I put my order in, went to sit down on a chair. I am sitting and sitting. Nobody is bringing my hamburger. So finally I am going and I said, sir, I ordered a hamburger and did you forget about me? He says, lady, you cannot be here. I said, why?
Why?
And he says, oh, you are not from here because you have different speech. You have accent. He says, you know, you are white. I said,
so you what? You were in a segregated area.
Yes.
You didn't realize there was a difference.
I didn't even know.
Oh, my dear.
Because in Europe, they don't have this.
Exactly.
So I said,
oh,
but I said, oh, my God, but I am hungry. So he says, you know, I'm going to rob this hamburger, put it in your pocket, but don't sit here. Sit someplace else.
Because yes, you'll cause them to get in trouble.
Yes. He says, we will be punished. I thought to myself, oh, my God, what kind of America is this? Where am I? So finally, I am eating this hamburger. My sponsors are coming. They said, where did you get this hamburger?
Oh, dear.
Well, I said, well, at this restaurant. I said, they really have, I said, really good hamburger. She grabbed this hamburger. She threw it. And she says, you are eating poison. I said, my God, what is happening? I said, why? She says, can't you see the sign?
But you know what? She said the exact same thing. As the German lady said to you when you picked up that foil.
Yeah.
The mentality is the same, just different places, different faces.
Do you know, and I am looking, and it says, restaurant,
colored only.
Restaurants and bathroom size. I couldn't believe, you know?
Obviously, you survived these encounters, these really negative encounters. You weren't broken. You weren't shattered.
No.
Do you feel that the life that you live helped you?
Yes.
Therefore, where you are now?
Understand a lot of things around me that I did not. There are people that are having positive outlook on life. They have no respect for human beings. There is no care.
How can you still have faith knowing that even though different countries and different cultures, the same evil prevails? How can you still have faith and an optimist look?
You know how I am very wide, broad-minded. Let's see. For instance, I see things. And
so they try to overcompensate.
For me, that's right. For me, nobody gave me nothing.
Okay.
I came with this house from nothing. I had only dress that was falling apart.
But you're a better person for it.
Yes, I am. And I will be to the day that I die.
Do you feel that we're moving as a human race or as an America? We're moving forward or are we just standing still?
Tell you the truth, I am for Obama. I am from Obama. We are moving forward. And what Obama went in, he went into a mess that was caused for years before him. And now to fix this, it's going to take years to fix it. But Obama is trying the best.
Yeah, but do you think really one person can fix the problems of our society?
No, one person cannot, but one person can instigate others to stand up.
But are you saying that you are going to be voting towards a person who has more compassion because of the life they lived compared to someone who you feel might not empathize with people struggling?
Yes, because when you, I tell you what I found out in my life, I was never rich. Mm-hmm. I was never even mid-class, whatever they call it now, middle class, yes. I know what to be poor. And when you are rich, you think that if you maybe pay for somebody something, that you already did a big deed? No.
Okay.
That's what Romney did. Paid for somebody's medical whatever.
Yes.
And he's coming out and he's saying, no.
So you're saying people with means feel like things could be cured and solved with money.
Money does a lot of things, I tell. Money really rules.
Does help. It does
a lot of countries, even this country, yeah. But, you know, I don't think so that it will change, that it's going to do good for the middle or poor. No. No. Because he's going to forget. He's going to forget, really. Mm-hmm. Because there is too much money behind, and no. He's not going to do good. Because I am listening almost every day, and I said, I used to be poor, and I know what it is. And this guy, he has something, some stuff he even cannot explain.
Because he doesn't have that awareness.
No.
That you have to live it to have that awareness.
To understand.
Exactly.
To understand, really.
So, in your later years, you're lecturing, you talk to people, like the reason why I came to you is
because
you touched so many young people that I had a 16-year-old girl with you on her phone. I mean, I thought that was incredible.
I just hope I can meet this girl because I can talk to her. I can give her a hug because those kids really, I thought they're going to...
It touched me because everyone's always worried about the youth of America and how... And this young 16 girl had an elderly woman that touched her, that she kept you on her phone and had you on your phone number, that you've inspired a young person who's going to travel the world and carry your message. And... I'm just so glad that I've got a chance to meet someone like you.
Oh, thank you.
Because
thank you.
Like you said, we all come from different walks.
Yes.
But you're not just surviving. You're teaching. You're teaching. You're not bitter. You're not angry. You want your revenge.
No.
You used your life and your misfortune to blossom and to teach and to grow. But you've chosen to do that.
Yeah.
Fiber do you have in your DNA that has...
I don't know. Something good.
But I thank you for taking time on this beautiful day in Silver City to share your life because you're going to live on.
Yeah, but you know, they all those students wrote me an essay, and a lot of times I look through, it's like a book thick like this. And, you know, I want to cry. I want to cry. And I said to myself, I wish that I could meet them, really meet them, because it looks like when I talked to them, they were telling me that they can see life different. They are looking for that other tomorrow that is going to come. And I said, it will come. It will come. Sometimes not soon enough, but it will come. It will come.
Are you going to continue to lecture?
Yes, if anybody invites me, I will.
Do you have a website? So
nobody sponsors me. I am my own sponsor.
So they can just Google you and find out information and call you? Or would you like me to?
Yeah, you can so I can really. But you know, and one school invited me for 1 hour. Mm-hmm. How can you put 6 years in 1 hour? It's very difficult, and I know I did not do good in that 1 hour, 2 hours. Yes, you can. The history books cannot put everything in. It's impossible.
You're a witness.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I visualize this young child from 7 to 15, surviving this and living it, it's real to me more than just reading on a book or reading it on the internet. I'm looking at you. I see.
I am 80 years old right now.
I see you reminiscing a memory that's still in your soul. And that's something that you can't put down on a piece of paper.
Do you know, I start writing a book. I go into the smallest detail. And do you know, I am there. I hear the dogs barking. I hear the people screaming, the children. And it's just like I am there. And I visualize everything like it's happening, really. So sometimes I look around. I said, what is this? You know, to come out of this, I'm calling myself stupid. Even that I never swear, I swear on myself. I said, what's the matter? You have a house, you have roof, you have children, you have people around
you. It's because it's part of you.
Do you know, I stopped writing the book. I cannot get out. It's just like I see the dead bodies. I see, you know, like before the bodies will be burned, I see the crematorium. And after World War II, I went to see a place, you know, the one of the camps I went to visit. And I never even visualized what they were doing to those people, how terribly, you know, those people
in
concentration.
You couldn't.
And I went after World War II, I traveled because I wanted to see how cruel they were to people, what they did. But, you know, I tell you, now Germany is standing on the first place when it comes to experiments.
Yes.
Especially about human body.
Well, yes, we learned even when Mengele did some experiments, medical knowledge came from
his other name, Dr. Death.
But we did learn a lot from him,
yeah.
Even though it was a barbaric way of doing it.
Yeah.
But some good came out.
Yeah, some good came out. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
That's okay. Thank you for listening.
I mean, not compared to what you went through. If you are having a negative time, if there's something stressful that you're dealing with, is there one thing that you can always think about that you close your eyes and think?
God. I always sit down and I said, well, dear Lord, I really have a stressful time. I really feel like something is happening that I don't like. I cannot relax. Can you help me? And then I close my eyes, I start doing things, and I'm fine. Yeah.
Is there one message that you can give to someone right now who's going through something that they feel like they just can't overcome it? If you could reach that one person.
My one message I always give, believe in God. God is good. Sometimes the things will not happen to you right now, but the door will be open for you. And just, you know, and don't forget to say thank you when things are going better for you. Because sometimes we forget where we came from, mm-hmm. what happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget this. Always be thankful. For little things, be thankful.
And that concludes my interview with Elaine Fellen. If you would like more information about Elaine, you can contact KGLP. Well, that is it. Please stay tuned for Democracy Now! At 3 o'clock. And remember, life is way, 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 way too short. Enjoy your blessings. Enjoy the things around you. Be thankful. And when things are good, remember to say thank you. Love yourself. Love love others. Give yourself a hug. And forgive yourself. It makes it easy to forgive others. Bye. And be blessed.